As we prepare to enter into worship, let me share with you just a few music notes. During our worship service today, you will hear a recording of St. John's Brass Ensemble playing Jesus is the Answer. It was originally a vocal piece written by Paul Rauscher, uncle of Alan Malachowski, who transcribed it for brass instruments. The communion meditation music will be the familiar hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together. The words are available on our website and Facebook page, along with the words to the other hymns included in today's worship. And finally, the postlude will be Toccata in 7 by John Rutter, played by our incoming Minister of Music, Andrew Paulson.
Thank you. As we begin our time of worship today, I want to remind you of something very important, that when we gather together, near or far apart, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire in our time of worship today to meet you where you are and to share God's love, God's peace, and God's comfort with you. So take a deep breath with me. Invite God's Spirit of peace to fill you up as you inhale. Exhale and set aside all the worries and anxieties of the day. And join me as we reflect on today's theme. I think holy is one of those church words we often put in front of things as an adjective because, well, why not? It sounds good. But it's a little hard to define. So I did some research and I did some thinking because our theme today is holy welcome. And I wanted to know the difference between a welcome and a holy welcome. It turns out that adding the word holy to something simply means dedicated to God. I like that. I like thinking of all the things we could add the word holy to in the course of our Sunday morning worship or our Saturday evening worship, whenever you're worshiping, and even to our daily lives. So when we extend to someone a holy welcome, we are dedicating the act of welcoming to God. Does that change the way we welcome someone? When we know something is for God, do we do it differently? Better? Do we treat someone with more kindness, more compassion, more hospitality? Shouldn't every welcome be a holy welcome? In fact, shouldn't everything we do be dedicated to God? Shouldn't everything we do be holy? As we look at what it means to welcome today, to accept, let's be mindful of the ways in which we give and receive hospitality in holy ways to strangers, to friends, to God in our midst. Holiness is indeed in our midst now, wherever we are, as we come together to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join me in saying our prayer of confession out loud if you've got the words in front of you, or simply by listening and praying along. Let us pray. God, we want to be a welcoming community made up of welcoming individuals because we know that's who we should be. We have great intentions of being people with open doors and open hearts, but so often, both are more closed than we care to admit. We have been conditioned not to see injustices around us. We make judgments about others based on their appearance. We assume that someone else is already giving them the help they need. And quite honestly, we find ourselves just too busy and overwhelmed to worry about anyone other than ourselves and those in our immediate care. We confess that we turn away from the pain and suffering of others, not because we are bad people, but because the needs are so many, and we question our ability to make a real difference. In these moments, remind us that in our simple acts of welcoming others, we are also welcoming you. As we offer a kind and loving hand to others, it is your hand that reaches back. Give us strength and courage to be a people who both offer and accept hospitality and welcome, knowing that you are with us in the reaching and in the receiving. Amen. My friends, be assured, Christ does welcome us, and with that welcome comes oceans of grace and forgiveness. Christ did not live or die so that we could be perfect the first time, but so that we would have endless tries to do God's will in the world, to have endless chances to welcome and show and receive hospitality. Live into the promise of Christ's forgiveness and grace this day. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm 13 begins with an oft-asked question these days, "How long, O Lord?" It is a psalm of David and a prayer for deliverance from enemies. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. And our gospel lesson today picks up right where we left off last Sunday, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 40. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." These are God's words for us. As always, we ask God to grant us wisdom beyond our own, that we might understand them and bring them alive in our lives. Amen. I have a message this morning to share with our young ones and with those who would like to learn from the young ones in our midst. Just this past week, in my In Touch Tuesday video, I mentioned the very wise 7-year-old who years ago responded to my question, "What do you think God wants us to be?" by saying, "God wants us to be who we are. God wants us to be ourselves." Well, today I want to share with you the wisdom of another St. John's young one, this time a 5-year-old, who, in talking about the Bible rather matter-of-factly while eating, referred to it as the chapter book from God. I love it. This simple statement is far more insightful than our wonderful 5-year-old knows, and I'll tell you why. You know that when you read a chapter book, you don't just start reading in the middle, or skip around, or read one sentence and think you know what the story is all about, or exactly what's going to happen. You start at the beginning, and you pay attention to the whole story, right? Well, when we read the Bible, it's much the same. But there are a few differences. We don't start at the beginning and try to read the whole book because the Bible is actually 66 separate chapter books. Yes, that's a lot of books. And while some of the books have only a few chapters, others have as many as 150 chapters. But what is the same is that just like the chapter books you read for school or read because you love to read, the chapters in each of the books are connected. And the books in the Bible are all connected to each other. We can't read just one verse or one chapter and think we know what the Bible is all about because the stories are woven together. Yes, there are some parts that are really hard to understand. And yes, there are some parts that are kind of boring, and we tend to want to skip over them. Then there are the names that sound funny and strange and are hard to pronounce, and people who do some pretty awful things. But if we pay attention to the message that comes through loudly and clearly when we think about the chapters all together, we cannot miss these clear messages. For starters, God loves us, all of us, more than we can imagine. God will never give up on us, even if we give up on ourselves or on God. And God wants the very best for us and for the world God created. Our very wise 5-year-old also knew that the Bible isn't just any chapter book. It's the chapter book from God. Nope, God didn't drop the book down from heaven and say, "Here you go, I wrote this all by myself and it's perfect." Instead, God moved in the hearts of real live people who believed in God and inspired them to write the words that we believe are most important as our guides for living. We say that the chapter book from God was inspired by God, but people wrote it down. Lots of people, from all sorts of backgrounds, with all sorts of personalities, from every walk of life. People a bit like you and like me. God breathed ideas and words into these faithful people, and they shared their ideas and their words with us. Now, if you happen to be one of our young ones listening today, I hope you have a Bible of your own, one that perhaps your parents or grandparents or an older sister or brother can help you read. Every year, we make sure the boys and girls in our Sunday school who are going into third grade receive a Bible. And this fall, we're going to make sure that happens. And so that Pastor Addie doesn't miss anyone, we're going to ask if you have a young person in your family going into third grade and want to make sure they get a Bible, be sure to reach out to Pastor Addie and let her know that. Your chapter book will be coming your way soon. And as for you grown-ups, if you haven't checked out your chapter book from God recently, today would be the perfect day to do so. With that in mind, I invite you to be with me now as we pray, and then we close by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us the best chapter book ever. Help us to understand your words for us, and help us want to live by these words, even when they're hard. Help us also to remember that your main message, the message you want to make sure we hear and live by, is a message of love. Help us to love you and our neighbor as best we can every single day. This we pray in Jesus' name, remembering that he taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."